Hello, and welcome to our podcast, Francophiles. This is our fifth podcast from the French Embassy in Washington, D.C. My name is Ariel. I will be your host. You could probably tell from the accent that I'm not French and that I'm American, but I've had an interest in the French language and culture and people for as long as I can remember. My work here, like that of many at the embassy, is about building bridges between French and American cultures. The purpose of this podcast? To explore with you the secrets of diplomacy and to help you discover our rich and fascinating work. From geopolitical interrogations to daily life at one of the biggest French embassies abroad, we decided to open up our souls and microphones to you and hope you will enjoy the ride. Another thing you'll hear us asking frequently on this podcast, but what about France? Don't worry, we haven't lost track or forgotten our notes. We ask this because our goal is to discuss France's role or influence or perception here in the US and sometimes even on the world stage. In today's podcast, we are discussing Notre-Dame de Paris. It's been less than a month since a massive blaze devastated large parts of the iconic cathedral, which is more than 850 years old. French President Emmanuel Macron stated that he was sad to see a part of us burn when the fire first broke out. Later on, he assured that the church, often considered to be one of the finest examples of French Gothic architecture, will be built again in 5 years and will be more beautiful. Naturally, this incident left the people of France heartbroken. However, it wasn't only the French who mourned the loss of this historic treasure. Over the past few weeks, we've seen how the world, and especially Americans, have come together and shared their love for this piece of history. At the embassy, we received a great amount of messages of compassion and solidarity. We have also been very moved by all the American support, and we wanted to share this special podcast on Notre-Dame with you. Today we are sitting down with Philip Kennicott, an art and architecture critic from the Washington Post, to learn more about how the fire at Notre Dame impacted the American people, and more importantly, why the value belongs to all of us. You'll also hear from Johann Vexo, one of the organists of Notre Dame. He'll be sharing his experience about Notre Dame and his work there. Hi, Philip. Thanks for being here and talking to us today about the Notre Dame fire. Philip, could you talk to us a little about the historical and cultural significance of Notre Dame in America?
You know, obviously it's one of the really huge symbols of Paris and France. I think Americans probably will say that the Eiffel Tower is the really iconic image, but that, I think, for them represents one very particular France. It's 19th century Paris. Notre Dame, on the other hand, connects with so much of the rest of the history of France, and it connects with a kind of architecture and a length of history that Americans don't share. And I think there's a great deal of fascination with that.
So why don't you think you don't have to be French in order to mourn this disaster that happened to Notre Dame?
It's the enormous beauty of the building. When you see something like that and mentally register the millions of hours that it takes for a building like that to exist, I think that makes a claim larger than any one particular nationality. I think also that, you know, Americans are descended from various different cultures, and France and Europe is one of the strongest connections that we have to the pre-American part of the American identity. So there are people, I think, who often say that they feel French, or they feel English, or they feel German, or they feel from whatever country their family has come from. And so Americans will, in a kind of emotional way, lay claim personally to some of these cultural icons, even if they're not on American soil, and even if the history has had a lot of twists and turns since that connection in their family.
So you explained culturally, but what is it about the history, do you think, that draws Americans in or foreigners in?
I don't know how much Americans know of the actual history of Notre Dame, but I think that there's the sense of things being historical that's felt in an emotional way. You know, it's when you first travel in Europe, and especially in a city like Paris, maybe you come out of the metro and you look up, and there's this stuff in front of you. And it's sort of shocking to an American. These enormously beautiful and big and historic buildings just sitting there. You know, we would think you have to put them someplace and you have to make an effort to go and find them. And there's something about Notre Dame and the way that it's visible throughout so much of Paris, and you can kind of orient yourself in relationship to it. I think that that's, in a sense, the way we feel its historicalness, more than, say, knowing exactly why it was built and why it's a cathedral as opposed to a church or a basilica. Americans probably aren't so good on that particular part of the history. But the fact that it's old is emotionally very powerful, I think, to most Americans, even if it's a sort of sentimental feeling.
Think there's anything comparable here in the U.S.?
Well, there are a number of ways of answering that. I mean, certainly we have structures that are quite old, but those were built by the people who were native to the America. And that belongs in a different sort of stream of American history. And certainly we have buildings that are emotionally very important to us, but they're not nearly as old as Notre Dame. So in a way, I think probably the best answer is that there aren't buildings quite like Notre Dame, which is why people want to go and see it. You know, we have some very grand churches in the United States, and some of those have been built in essentially the traditional masonry way. They're big stone churches with stone vaulting and so on, as Notre Dame was. But they were built in the late 19th, early 20th century, and I confess that I don't think they're quite as beautiful as Notre Dame. They feel a little heavy, and in some ways they always feel a little new. And that newness, I think, is not just that the stone was carved more recently, but they haven't taken on the clutter of artistic association that a great old cathedral has. You know, you can walk through an old church in Europe, and there may be a painting from the early 20th century and from the middle of the 19th century, and a gold ground painting from the 12th century, and carvings from, you know, 1,000 years or more. You know, American churches, they don't have that, and they don't have the kind of wonderful chaos and even dissonance of those competing styles that sort of accumulate within a great old European church.
If you could talk to me briefly about why this has such a big impact, even on people who might not consider themselves to be religious.
You know, there really is nothing like walking into a space like Notre Dame and seeing the height of the space and seeing the volume of space that's enclosed and feeling it even in a kind of haptic way. The air is a little cooler and the light is a little more muted, and you do feel like in this one crossing of a threshold, you've left a often very noisy and crowded part of Paris behind and suddenly are in this space. So I think that anybody who's seen it has a kind of emotional sense of having seen something extraordinarily beautiful and magnificent. And I think that if you go back to Paris often enough, if you can claim to know it as more than just a tourist who's passed through on a weekend or a school trip, you begin to get an intimation of what it might be like to live surrounded by these things, to have this building as a casual presence in the city landscape rather than just this tourist thing that you have to go and see and check off the box, to almost in a sense get to the point where you can take for granted the size and the beauty of the building. Once you begin to feel that way about the building, there is again a bit more of a sense of a participation in the power or the meaning of that building, not just as a thing to look at or something to, you know, glance down at your tourist guide and then glance up at the church and say, yep, it looks just like it did in pictures. You know, there begins to be more of a sense of ownership, even if that's a kind of irrational, emotional sort of ownership.
So you just touched upon your personal significance it has to you. So could you maybe elaborate a little bit on that? What kind of attachment do you have to it?
I remember the first time I visited it, I hadn't been intending to go and see it. I had a list of other things that seemed more important to me. And I think I had a snobbish sense that because it was such an important icon that maybe it didn't really need to be on my more personal list of things that I would do. But then I thought I just couldn't resist going in. And when I went in, the organist was playing, and I sat down and listened for as long as I could spare the time. It's wonderful to, you know, to be in a place like Paris often enough that you can just randomly go in and see it. And I think that very often it's those moments in which it has the most significance for you.
A lot of Americans have been very generous when it comes to the rebuilding of Notre Dame. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, it was gratifying to me to see how immediately and forcefully people were when it comes to the idea of rebuilding this building. I think that's important. It's going to be a long and contentious process. Basic arguments about what are the important priorities in our culture today. Is it rebuilding old buildings, or is it responding to immediate needs, immediate concerns, diseases, poverty, and so on? I think there's a way in which we need to accept the fact that a great country, a great religion, a great democracy is capable of doing multiple things at one time, and that rebuilding this cathedral can be a priority among other priorities, and that when it's done, when it's finally finished, there is this wonderful kind of amnesia about these things that has always, these fires and disasters have been a continual part of the history of all of these great old buildings. And when, you know, Notre Dame is finally made whole again, very rapidly we'll lose touch with the fact that this ever happened at all.
What came to your mind when you heard about the fire at first?
So I learned about the fire while I was traveling in Italy. My first sense was the one that everybody had, horrified. They were all deeply concerned about the building. The other sense I had was a broader feeling of the resilience of these kinds of buildings. In any of these towns and cities in Italy, they've been through this. You know, this is history. Stuff happens. Horrible things happen. There are places that have burned where we've lost absolutely essential paintings. You preserve what you can, you rebuild what you can, and you accept the fact that there's nothing permanent in what we make. You know, these things will happen. And in a sense, if you think of what it was like to live in any one of these cities at the time that these buildings were being built, a great many people would have lived out their entire lives without these projects ever having been, in any sense, complete or finished. You would be born and die an old man if you were lucky, and the walls would still be rising. It's always good to keep that longer, broader understanding of kind of historical time frame in mind.
Thank you, Mr. Kennicott, for your time. Hi, Johan. We're so happy to have you here with us today. Can you please talk to me about how you feel about Americans showing so much support for Notre Dame?
So for every people, I mean the people who work at the cathedral, but also for French people, I guess, it's very supportive for us and very important to see so many people from, of course, here in the United States, but also from all around the world, see all these people moved and shocked by what happened at Notre Dame last week.
Could you talk to me a little bit about how it feels for people who don't know, for people who've never been to Notre Dame? What is it like playing inside of that cathedral?
Oh, it's just an unbelievable experience to play on both instruments. So we have two organs at Notre Dame. The main organ above the main doorway is, of course, the most important organ. So yes, it's absolutely incredible. The organ is stunning. The acoustic of the cathedral is absolutely gorgeous. We have so many possibilities, musical possibilities on the instrument. A lot of different sounds, very soft sounds, but also a power, an incredible power. So yes, it's absolutely incredible.
I assume you'll miss playing inside of the cathedral this time.
Now, as you imagine, it's impossible, but we had very good news 2 days ago about the condition of the main organ, especially. And apparently, we will have to play the organ quite soon. So I don't know if it will be in a few weeks, in a few months, but we are sure that we will have to play it before the total reconstruction of the cathedral, just to keep the organ in condition. There is nothing worse than an organ which is not played.
Thank you, Mr. Vexo, for your time. This was a very special podcast for us. Again, thank you to all of our American friends for your support. And if you want to know more about how you can help with the rebuilding of Notre Dame, visit www.notredamedeparis.fr/friends/donate. The charity foundation of Notre Dame in the U.S., Friends of Notre Dame, is a 501c3 public charity. All gifts are tax deductible in the United States. Of course, do not hesitate to share with us your thoughts on our podcast or what you'd be curious to hear more about. Let us know on our website, www.franceintheus.org, or send us an email at info@ambafrance-us.org. And please subscribe to our podcast if you liked it. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, à bientôt. Thank you.